Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the podcast that examines conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I'll be your host, Mike Bowler, as we take a look at conspiracy in the news for the week ending March 18th, 2018. And it's been a kind of an interesting week. Some interesting stories popped up and some, of course, Alex Jones is well represented again in this list, but a couple of interesting kind of side note type stuff. And I'm going to start off with a real simple. Came across this article about the conspiracy theories you hear in prison. This is from the Marshall Project. Apparently, this is a prisoner advocacy group. And the striking thing is that many of the conspiracies actually seem to center more in the realm of the sovereign citizen movement. If you don't understand, if you have never heard of the sovereign citizen, these are people who believe that through various tactics, that there are these secret codes within the law that allows you to disconnect yourself as a citizen of whatever. It seems to be kind of a wide ranging. You could be a citizen of the county you live in, or you could be a citizen of the state you live in. You even some more radical cases that you're really not even a citizen of anything. That's kind of this Moorish temple belief that because and this is mostly for African Americans who have claimed that their connection to Africa, and because their ancestors came here as slaves without papers, so on, that allows them not to be a citizen of the United States, and that they could do whatever they feel like doing and basically violate any law because it is not legit. They don't have to legitimately follow it, or the laws are not legitimate because they're not a citizen of that entity. That's about the simplest way to explain it, because the entity would be, you know, again, the federal government, the state government, whatever government agency that you're disconnected from, so to speak. So, and much of what goes through the prisons are how to make this work. This has been a problem in some areas. There's a handful of stories about these sovereigns who have committed all sorts of crimes, from simple speeding violations all the way up to extortion and murder, and that they're not liable because they don't belong to the entity that they decided they're not going to be a part of. You know, so and much of this is quite popular in months prison populations. So that was the interesting part about this story. I kind of leave it at that, because they also believe in the 9/11 and all the standard conspiracies that I've talked about. So our next story, of course, here's Alex Jones. Lesbians have just had a bad experience with men, and once they find a man, they become very happy. I read this story, and it's the classic, this male that apparently, of course, this is your basic homophobic comment. Mostly the idea is that if you lived a normal life or had your normal life would be a man and a woman and so on and all that kind of stuff that goes with it. And, of course, people stray because of bad experiences, and all you need is a good experience to bring you back in line. And Jones, of course, yeah, he is not known for being sensitive to people's beliefs or interests or their lifestyles. Like many of the Christian community will like to believe that because they don't have God in their life, that's why they become homosexuals or taken to other perversions. And the fact of the matter is, and it's been pretty much, it's fairly well documented, though I haven't really studied that the science behind sexuality, but certainly the going consensus seems to be that we are what we are mostly through various combinations of genetic background plus environmental conditions that at certain times, certain things happen. And it, I guess, it's getting into some weird science to me that things like there may be a genetic predisposition to being homosexual or being or to have a I shouldn't say perversion, but it's a fetish, and somehow that through either through environment that you've lived in a household that maybe practices the practices this fetish or whatever, or perhaps even at certain points during your a child's development, that if the child gets a dose of some or a boost in a hormone or something like that, could trigger this I don't like to use lifestyle, but it kind of, you end up getting programmed as you grow up through these various methods to eventually become, when you become an adult, that you're pretty much, you're set and you're in your sexual orientation. I don't understand it, but I do get it, I guess. Alex Jones doesn't understand it. He doesn't get it. And quite frankly, you'll see him constantly making these comments. So we'll kind of leave it at that. Alex Jones he claims that the Democrats stole the Pennsylvania special election by having dead people vote. Apparently, in Pennsylvania, the 18th congressional district, Connor Lamb barely wins to win this congressional district seat with a very, very small margin against Rick Saccone, the Republican candidate. And of course, Jones, who apparently, again, without any evidence, there can't be any evidence at this point because we're talking within a few days that finding out, or at least Jones believes that dead people were voting in that election. Now, we've heard the story before. In Chicago, it's vote early, vote often. That's been a kind of a running joke. Of course, there has been the push on the voter fraud front, which, of course, Donald Trump had a commission put together, but then later disbanded it, or fairly recently disbanded that group. At least as far as I could tell about Alex Jones, he has no evidence whatsoever that this occurred, and it couldn't happen. He couldn't have it because, again, there's just not enough time to review all these votes. Certainly, there hasn't been a recount. I'm surprised that the Republican candidate hasn't called for a recount. I don't know how Pennsylvania handles that, but certainly nothing has been done other than a lot of speculation on what happened and why the Republican lost. So again, Jones trying to tell his people, hey, life is good. We're just having, the Democrats are playing dirty. Beware of, be aware the Democrats are crooked. The day is long type of attitude. Not the fact that the Republicans they're having their problems, and certainly a president who supposedly is linked to, I'm sure there's certainly, it's hard to say, but I'm sure there is going to be some backlash. Apparently in this district, Trump had in the presidential election, he won this particular district by 20%. That 20% has disappeared. So that is really where the story is, that the Republicans they need to figure out how to fix their little Trump problem. So the next story, an interesting, I guess there was an article here in the Cosmos magazine. I'm not familiar with. This is the first time I've seen this particular magazine, but a homeopathy cancer paper withdrawn after arrest of the lead authors. Investigation finds multiple problems and no evidence in a paper that claims scabies could reduce tumor growth. Again, this is one of those very, I want to say, fairly typical, except the usually the author of a scientific paper more than likely would have, you know, he would still sort of have his job. He would, of course, in the case of Andrew Wakefield, once he had his paper retracted, then an ethics committee overlooked his actions creating that paper and decided to pull his license. But certainly in this particular case, this particular paper almost immediately came under scrutiny based on such things as no control group. Apparently, the experiment or the data didn't have a comparison from a control versus who was receiving the particular treatment. Again, this is common in the homeopathy world, or in the alternative medicine is probably more appropriate, those who are trying to prove that certain various herbal remedies, the various homeopathy, naturopathy, all the stuff that goes along with trying to prove that this is a legitimate treatment. Of course, the problem here, the paper was published in the journal Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine. It was retracted late in February after readers voiced concerns and formal investigation flagged multiple ethical problems. The subject of the paper was psoriasis therapy and use in treating stomach, gallbladder, pancreatic, and liver cancers. Physorium is a particular favorite of homeopaths, described as a substance prepared from the fluid of blisters from scabies-infested skin. The lead authors of the retracted paper, father and son team, Ardeep and Ashim Chatterjee, clearly thought different. In 2001, the pair set up a trial of cancer patients administering the scabies fluid along with other homeopathic substances and completed in a complete absence of conventional cancer meds. First up, the authors claim ethics clearance for their study was granted by a review board overseeing the Critical Cancer Management Research Center and Clinic in Kolkata, India. This raised two problems. First, the Chatterjees turned out to own the clinic in question. Second, the ethics approval was granted in 2001, which is weird because the clinic didn't open its doors until 2008. Attempting to resolve these apparent inconsistencies, Hindawi sought to contact the lead authors. They were told Ardeep Chatterjee had been arrested for practicing medicine without proper qualifications in June 2017. His father was reported also to have been arrested 2 months later. Three of the four additional authors said they did not agree with the paper's conclusion, and the fourth did not respond. After the paper was retracted, Retraction Walks contacted the publishers of Journal of Clinical Oncology, in which the Chatterjees had also been published, and the editors are investigating. So basically, father and son team doctors who were basically not doctors because they didn't have qualifications to be doctors. Both of them in jail. I think that's a pretty good. I would say it's a pretty good indication this is a bad paper. I think I can leave it at that, can't I? Now, the interesting Alex Jones, really the more interesting part of Alex Jones or the Alex Jones story, has been that he's now being sued for defamation by, he's being sued by Brennan Gilmore, who was the witness, one of the witnesses of the Charlottesville attack by Alex Fields. The neo-Nazi deliberately drove his Dodge Challenger into a crowd of peaceful protesters, killing Heather Heyer, and injuring many others. The particular lawsuit is suing Alex Jones, his company InfoWars LLC, and the holding company for InfoWars Free Speech Systems LLC. He's also suing Lee Strantham, Lee Ann McAdoo, a.k.a. Lee Ann Fleischer, Scott Crichton, James, Jim Hoft, Alan B. West, and Derek Wilburn. I'm going through the, I have the court filing here in front of me. Basically, Gilmore, had, of course, has been a target of Alex Jones and, of course, his minions who have then jump on and harass this guy. Jones using the similar tactic as for most of the school shootings and so on, calling it a false flag attack, all this kind of stuff. Or in this particular case, Jones accuses Gilmore of being part to create the attack. Had been, of course, this is uncorroborated. There's no evidence whatsoever this ever happened, but Gilmore had worked with and hired Fields to conduct this attack as part of a deep state conspiracy. And of course, this have triggered numerous articles, various discussions on news. The other interesting, again, according to the going through the this court filing, Jim Hoft was a ran the Gateway Pundit website, and all and with this coordinated effort to defame, harass, and basically Brennan and or Brennan Gil to harass Brennan Gilmore, his family, with death threats and bodily harm. It also had impeded on his business. He ran a side business. He had a side business that lost business. And of course, his day job was working with a group of part of the State Department, and he is now forced into a unpaid leave to get this situation solved. And apparently, the Gilmore has decided to sue for damages. I didn't look at any, if there was any set number, but certainly he is, at least from some of the news articles on this, is that the money isn't important. He wants this guy and all these people convicted of this. He wants to bring these people to task and have them basically to bring Alex Jones, InfoWars, and the other defendants to bring them to task and have them realize that what they did was wrong. And I don't know what kind of damages he's pursuing. So we'll see how that works out, because Jones still also has a an outstanding case. Actually, I'm kind of confused if he actually is being named in a lawsuit on the Seth Rich story. But Seth Rich's parents have been they're definitely suing Fox News, and again going after a number of the writers, the company itself, again this fake story about Seth Rich being the person who leaked the Democratic National Committee's emails to WikiLeaks. The interesting thing about that was that it was determined that the Russians had actually stole it, hacked those email servers, and they were responsible for the WikiLeaks. But Julian Assange decided in an interview he wasn't going to confirm or deny that Seth Rich had anything to do with this. So, of course, automatically assuming that Seth Rich was involved. And because of this, his death, which was, of course, attributed to a botched robbery, the various news outlets like Fox News and InfoWars have latched on this as a conspiracy. And needless to say, again, a defamation suit has been filed against at least Fox News. I don't know if InfoWars was going to get hit on that one. Now, another interesting offshoot from this Parkland, Florida shooting, the school shooting, David Hogg, according to this article in The Blaze, David Hogg backs down from a debate with InfoWars host Alex Jones. Now, The Blaze is not known for it's actually very highly questionable, a right-wing, alt-right site run. It was established by Glenn Beck, so this is certainly could rank right up there with InfoWars. So, of course, David Hogg threw a series of Twitter messages about setting the record straight. Apparently, he didn't know who Alex Jones was until eventually he finds out and then decides to back out, which is a good idea. You do not talk to Alex Jones. You never talk to Alex Jones. I mean, if you've seen the Piers Morgan interview, Piers Morgan never talks to Alex Jones. He may have asked one or two questions, but then Alex Jones just takes over and just kind of went. I mean, that interview, literally, Jones went nuts and talked about everything from the globalist takeover to the gun control and the First or Second Amendment. You know, people are coming to take their guns, and it's people like you that, of course, talking to Piers Morgan, talking to him, you know, and it's people like you, Piers, that is perpetuating this, and you are part of the, you're, you know, and, you know, calling him a foreigner, un-American, all that kind of stuff, and just kept going and going and going. Piers never got a question in. I think only three questions ever came out of Piers' mouth. One at the beginning of the first segment or first part of the show, maybe a little bit further in, about 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes in, he got another question in. They went to commercial. Then he got his question in. Then Alex Jones just kept going and he kept ranting on, and it's the same stuff. From what I saw and what I remember, it's been a while, I probably could have looked at this. Alex Jones, it was Second Amendment, gun control, New World Order, the globalist takeover. Then he would say InfoWars.com. You can get all this information at InfoWars.com. Then back to, you know, gun control, you know, just kept going. And, of course, always introducing, you know, actually turning to this guy, Alex Jones, turned to the camera and says, and you can get this at InfoWars.com. You know, this was like a commercial to him. So that was basically the interview. And David Hogg, I don't blame him one bit for backing out, because you can't talk to Alex Jones. Alex Jones is this, you listen to an interview with Alex Jones. You see an Alex Jones interviewing somebody, but he's always interrupting the interviewee. He doesn't let the guy talk. He will, of course, there's the obligatory, I want to use a harsher term for this, but certainly he strokes his guess how great American this person is, blah, blah, blah. Then the guy will talk. And then Alex Jones, as the guy's talking, and he will blurt in, you know, 9/11, you know, whatever they're talking about, he'll insert a couple sentences about, yeah, this is, you know, that's the event, in, you know, here or there at this time, place type of stuff. And if the interviewer doesn't get the conversation back, Alex Jones will spend 2 or 3 minutes talking while the guest sits there waiting to talk. So and that's people he likes. Jones certainly doesn't like David Hogg. So it's just going to be a shouting match of Jones and Hogg just standing there listening to this. So I don't blame the guy. I'm glad he backed out. The Blaze, of course, made it sound like he chickened or whatever. This guy was playing it straight. Giving Alex Jones any type of forum is probably a bigger mistake than giving Alex Jones a forum is a very big mistake. And if it's outside his empire, if it's outside of InfoWars or Prison Planet or anything like that, you're not going to get a sane, or you're not going to get a, it will be, it'd be a very bad outcome. So now there's an interesting story from a website called Middle East Monitor. Again, I'm not sure how legitimate this site is, but our Algerian parliamentarian espouses measles conspiracy theory. Again, this is another anti-vax type of situation where there's a belief in some of the areas of Algeria that these health workers are going into these areas and intentionally infecting people with the measles, as opposed to administering vaccines against the measles. I don't think I need to go any further on that. Another Alex Jones story. My sources tell me Stormy Daniels is working with the globalists to try to take down Trump. If you've heard this story, I think I don't know if I've talked about it before, but porn star Stormy Daniels had a relationship with Donald Trump. I don't see any problem with having a relationship like that. Donald Trump runs in certain circles. I'm sure Stormy Daniels run in other similar circles. People with money get together and they do stuff. I'm sure Donald is human. And if they were able to strike up a relationship, hey, great, no problem. But the twist was that during the campaign, apparently a lawyer for Trump went to pay Daniels to keep her mouth shut about her relationship with Donald Trump. And somehow the story, there seems to be a whole mix of different things that are happening. And I don't really know what's going on here, but apparently the payments were made, but the contracts weren't signed. There was supposed to be a non-disclosure agreement for the $125,000 or whatever dollars that were going to be paid to, that Trump was going to pay her to keep quiet. Somehow the story got out, got into the news. It shouldn't be surprising that any story like that, if a good investigative journalist could probably find all sorts of dirt on Mr. Trump. Apparently they found it. Daniels went ahead and confirmed that this relationship existed. I don't know what exactly, if it was, I didn't even look. I didn't really care, because it seems like one of those stories that seems kind of unimportant. It only seems to be important to anti-Trump types. But of course, Alex Jones, he seems to want to help Trump when he gets into these little mix-ups, and decides to create a conspiracy that Daniels is working with the globalists. And of course, see, when Jones says my sources, his sources are probably the same people working in his office. Guys like Roger Stone, Jerome Corsi, and the other nameless faces that generate stories for InfoWars. So this isn't any, there's no evidence whatsoever to anybody outside of the Trump entourage. I think is probably, Trump has his people. I'm sure that this particular relationship, and apparently it was possibly public, and I don't know how public the relationship was, but certainly nobody outside of the Trump inner circle would have been have any awareness of anything of interest. So how would somebody within a government or something be able to secretly give Alex Jones information? Usually when when Alex Jones talks about sources, those sources are probably someone like, Jerome Corsi, Roger Stone, Paul Watson, or any other the names and faces that passes through InfoWars on almost a monthly basis. Different writers, there's outside writers who create stories for InfoWars. I'm not sure how, I'm assuming it's some type of per contract, per story basis. So they write a story and sell it to Alex Jones, make a couple bucks on each story. So, yeah, I highly doubt that Stormy Daniels is working for the globalists. I mean, it's hard to believe. Even now, apparently, for our final story, there's a conspiracy theory that says the Simpsons keep predicting stuff because Matt Groening is a Freemason. And it is kind of funny that the Simpsons has, one way or another, kind of picked a, whatever the show was that day, you know, what, you know, person they put on there. There seems to be this uncanny insight as to things like, of course, in this case, it was Trump running for president. And it just happened that a cartoon version of Donald Trump riding an escalator talking about being president of the United States on The Simpsons. So the link apparently is that Matt Groening, who's the creator, who's done this show for, oh, I don't know how many years of The Simpsons. We're talking 20 years worth of Simpsons. I don't know. Yeah, according to Wikipedia, there's been 29 seasons of The Simpsons, which equates roughly, I did a quick numbers here, of about 630 episodes. Most seasons seem to average about 22, though there was some with 25, 23, some with 21. So I just kind of took a rough average. So 630 to 640 episodes. And of course, the one of the hallmarks of The Simpsons is their ability to tap into the current pop phenomenon that would be occurring. I mean, everything from Michael Jackson, the Backstreet Boys have been talked about, and of course, current pop culture, whatever's popular at the time. So, having a Donald Trump who in 2006, who was running for president and gained some interest, of course, The Simpsons would latch on and create something with Donald Trump in it. How they get that accurate, I can't tell, but certainly one could figure. I mean, the chances are you're going to luck out. I mean, granted, I believe only maybe there's just this one talking about Trump and he was in the Simpsons cartoon, he's riding on the escalator being asked if he's going to run for president. That's one out of 640, 630 or 640 shows. I mean, the chances are he's going to get it right. Somebody's going to get it right. I don't know how many times Trump was featured on The Simpsons, but certainly the chances are that I think it's a pretty good chance that this was a very good coincidence and very just right, the right time, right place for it. So to make up a conspiracy about this, is, again, I think, kind of pushing the envelope a little bit on the conspiracy side. So I'm going to kind of call this the show. I'd like to thank you, everyone, for listening. Now, just for a final thought. Actually, I got an email from a listener, Michael F., and he says he loves my podcast. I love your podcast. You're addressing a sore need. There are many compliments I can give, but I thought I would make a point of criticism regarding your latest conspiracy news episode for March 11th. And I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, but the letter's correct that when I talked about Alex Jones and his trouble with YouTube, he apparently has two strikes. A third strike will get him kicked off of YouTube. Because YouTube's a private organization, they have perfect right to remove anything they feel offensive or they have a problem with. It's well within their right to do so. So this is certainly not a First Amendment issue, except I would argue that the First Amendment guarantees our ability to speak against the government. The freedom of the press is really the key component here. our ability to think and do without government interference. So, of course, YouTube being a private company, they don't necessarily have to follow that. But the problem I see is that there have been any number of occasions where people have taken offense to certain speech, various books, newspapers, whatever, and literally censor those works. It's not uncommon for, and I know that talking to my parents, they were devout Catholics. They were told they weren't allowed to see certain movies because of moral issues. And of course, being a good Catholic and the priest telling you not to see this movie, you did what they said. Fortunately for my parents, they got to see movies a few days before going to church and then finding out they weren't supposed to watch it. Okay, they're not going to watch it after that. Certainly, various books have been put on lists as to being offensive or racist or whatever. And of course, this is not necessarily anything done by the government for the government, but certainly being offensive to somebody, it's going to go on a list. And certainly there are religious groups who have taken it to the extreme and collected those books that they find offensive to them, to their Christian beliefs, and throw the books onto the bonfire, literally book burning here in the United States. How far do we go? That is what is the question. Now, YouTube can do whatever they want, and I'm not even worried about losing Alex Jones on YouTube. That would be a good thing, I think, personally. But what about the next level or the level after that? If we get rid of conspiracy speech, do we start getting rid of religious speech, or do we get rid of, political speech? Whatever we do, these steps, I know it's a slippery slope argument, but it has happened. And that's my real concern. The First Amendment, protects our speech as far as the government is concerned, but certainly the idea that private speech is considered and has been considered the utmost, even without a law or a constitutional mention in the, or a line in the Constitution or mentioned any mention, So my argument is that how far is YouTube's going to go with this? Hopefully it just stops with hate speech or definitely at least speech that condones violence. Or, of course, I would love to see videos you find the sovereign citizen stuff. These are people who are telling you how to cheat the government, basically. These should go away. There's those who are promoting various herbal and homeopathy and all the alternative medicine. I'd like to see that go away. But, of course, again, the argument of being able to speak your mind, being able to speak freely present your ideas. What is important is that with this type of speech, the type of speech that you'll see on a Alex Jones channel, there needs to be voices countering that. That's part of my job, is to counter Alex Jones and his douchebaggery. The idea that ideas can get out, putting ideas out, having them debated, have them discussed. This is as much an American ideal as anything else American. I mean, a true patriot will speak out to defend this speech and to counter bad speech. That is what's important. And having a YouTube venue, I don't use YouTube. I don't put anything of my stuff on YouTube. So I'm not that worried about it at this time. But if I was putting something on YouTube, I'd hate to think that my speech could be considered offensive or whatever and have my channel shut down because I'm speaking my opinions and dealing, my understanding of the truth. And I'm using that as, I know that much of what Alex Jones says is bullshit, but so should I be protecting his speech, being concerned that if his speech goes away, am I next? Or am I at the bottom of the list? Who knows? That's my real concern. So the letter is basically correct. It is a, when talking about free speech, you know, First Amendment, that's generally the what is really implied. But speech can get, it doesn't necessarily have to stop at the government. I know of that various religious groups will ban or had attempting to censor various books. There's books that are racist. And of course, you know, then again, they get on lists. You're not supposed to read them, or these are banned or censored books. I've seen a number of libraries talking about, and there'd be lists of books that are banned for one reason or another. So it's not a First Amendment issue. It is certainly an issue of what can be said, when we can say it. And maybe then the second question for Michael, that I do delve into some political areas. The unfortunate reality is that conspiracies are either created by or used by political groups, either used by political groups or have been created by political groups. And certainly the idea of this, of false narratives going out, as the unfortunate reality is many of these conspiracies are political. They're politically motivated. They're created to press forward a political agenda. And so it has to get political. There's no way I can escape that. Certainly I can deal with the historical, but again, it can become a political issue. In many cases, the 9/11 conspiracies are really coming out of libertarian or paleo conservatives who are trying to press forward these, that the government's corrupt. So we need a new government, and we've got one here. We're, you know, us libertarians, us, you know, or us, whatever political party, we're out here. We're ready to step in because you can't trust the Republicans or Democrats. That is really the main issue with conspiracies and why they're being perpetuated, by being created, why they're being used. So unfortunately, there's not much I can do as far as trying to separate out anything political. It's not going to happen in most cases. So I'm sorry if that's a deal breaker for you, but that's what it is. So I do thank you for listening and for your comments. And one other comment from, I need to find some good, better terms for Alex Jones, I call him a lying sack of shit. I mean, he is, that's what he is. But Paul Carr from the Unseen podcast and the Wow Signal podcast, he kind of recommended looking up Shakespeare insults. So I'm going to try. I didn't exactly have a chance to use it, but Alex Jones is a mad mustachioed purple-hued malt worms. Alex Jones, thou think no bowels thou. Alex Jones, thou tottering clapper clawed dewberry. I think I'm going to try to work those into the show somehow. Unfortunately, I don't speak Shakespearean, so we'll see what we can do. So no real announcements. So I'd like to thank you for listening, and we will see you in a week. Good night, everyone.